It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with episode 37 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. Episode 37, season 2. Got some baseball, softball, winding it up already. Seems like we just started, but I mean, man, things go fast in the spring. There's so much stuff
like this
going on.
State tournament stuff already. Yeah. I'm like, what happened?
Yeah, it seems like it's almost, it just began and it's over almost. But before we get to that, we got to talk about some famous number 37s. Big shocker to Jeff Tuttle, but some of these numbers, but some really good players here. Tony picks these out, gets these every week. We appreciate him doing that. My favorite out of these is going to be Doak Walker, old-time guy.
Yeah. You get an award named after, yeah.
Yeah, you're pretty good.
Pretty
you're,
serious.
Football yeah. player?
Yes.
Yeah,
football Leather helmet
player.
Kind of guy?
Close to it,
yeah.
if not.
Yeah.
He played at SMU and then played for the Detroit Lions, I believe, right?
Yeah, he was probably – late 40s, early 50s yeah. guy, something like that.
Yeah. So maybe not a leather helmet, but probably didn't have a face guard.
Yeah, there you go.
yeah. So.
And Deion Sanders, I know that name.
Yeah, yeah. He's a great football, baseball.
Only wore 37 with the Baltimore Ravens when he was finishing out his career.
Yeah.
So most people know him as probably 21.
Yeah.
Wore 21 with the Reds too, didn't he, Jeff?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, two-way player.
I can look at this list right here, and on this list, I know who Tony's favorite is, but go ahead, Tony.
Carnell Lake.
Yeah.
Carnell Lake had the, and if it's not for the Steeler fatigue and the Hall of Fame, Carnell Lake may get in one year when the draft class or the Hall of Fame class is weak. Five-time Pro Bowler. Didn't win a Super Bowl. That will also hurt him getting into the Hall of Fame. But
also one of the Great Lakes.
yeah. Ricky Lake and Carnell Lake.
Yeah.
The Great Lakes. But he played opposite Rod Woodson, so that's going to hurt you a little bit as well. But Carnell Lake was as consistent as they come. 12-year career with the Steelers, 5-time All-Pro. Definitely a great ball player.
Who you going with, man?
Well, I've got a defensive back that's not on this list, but I couldn't think of a Razorback.
Me either.
But I could think of a Raider.
Yeah.
Lester Hayes.
Yeah. Lester Hayes. He was on the just off. I went between him and Strasburg. Strasburg was on his way to being great.
And a lot of people, I don't know who listens or how old they are, Lester Hayes is the reason they done away with wearing Stick'Em, as it was called in the NFL, because
he looked like he had goo all over him when he played.
I mean, his hands were just covered in like Vaseline, basically, and he intercepted the ball every time he threw it.
But
his
it
way.
Had the opposite effect of Vaseline.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. Yeah. It wasn't like
ball hit him in a helmet, just stick to it because he'd have Stick'Em on.
That's right.
I mean, what it was like caked on all the way up to his forehead.
Oh yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah,
and Greg, you don't have to worry about the demographics of the show. It's
for the
I'm looking at them.
You're like looking at the people that listen.
So reference
and
away.
We just listen because we're going to hear
the
ourselves.
Seinfeld fans out there, Keith Hernandez.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Keith Hernandez, the most famous of all, because he was on Seinfeld for two episodes.
Yeah.
He shared an MVP award in 1979 with Willie Stargell.
He spat on Kramer.
No, he did
no,
not.
No, that was a different one.
They proved that he did not.
The magic loop.
From the grassy knoll. Yeah. Wasn't it from the grassy knoll?
Yeah, from the grassy knoll. That was a third spitter.
Yeah. We've lost anybody that doesn't watch Seinfeld. Yeah, I mean,
that's done. Okay. Is there somebody that doesn't watch Seinfeld?
Nice game, pretty boy.
I still watch Seinfeld. Reruns come on, and I'll stop and watch it.
Yeah, the only person I know that hadn't watched them is Jen.
Yeah.
And we get her all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could have got her today, but Tyler let it go.
I gave up. Yeah. I gave up midway through. Yeah. I said I couldn't do it. I was off today.
Yeah. But a lot of great players. You know, I really don't know, and we didn't talk about one that a lot of younger people are going to recognize more so from Sunday Night Football maybe than when he played with the Patriots. But Rodney Harrison,
He was a great DB.
He was a great DB.
He was
also. So that pretty much covers those guys. like you said, no Razorbacks that I can think of wore 37. There probably is one.
Probably kickers, punters.
Yeah, something like that. But
yeah, we're moving into that territory, right? Where we're kind of out of the
yeah quarterbacks.
Yeah, yeah, and, you yeah. Know,
and yeah, running like backs. That.
Yeah, you get back into the 40s, and you can get some more.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there, skill but, players.
Yeah. Nice, but probably time to move on and start talking about the Leopards and Lady Leopards. Both had pretty good weeks last week, Tony.
Absolutely. Leopards sit at 13-4, 5-3 in the league. They split with Arkadelphia, lost a heartbreaker in extra innings, 3-2 on Tuesday. Got revenge on Friday, beating them 7-0. In between that, on Thursday, they beat the Outlaws 13-3. And as we see it right now, Greg, if they sweep Fairview this week and Nashville sweeps Arkadelphia, both of those are likely. It ain't givens, but they're likely. The Leopards will be the 2 seed in the regional.
Right.
Very good.
And got to talk to Coach Crocker and the senior Leopard baseball players on the radio earlier today. And they, you know, talking to him, they're in the region.
Yeah.
Now, they could be either from 2-4.
Right.
They can't be 1.
Right.
But they can
that's
be.
That's why we root for the Scrappers this week.
That's right. that's right. We can be either 2-4. We're Scrapper rooters and hope they win both those games. And we win both our games against Camden Fairview, and that puts us in the 2 seed.
That's where right. Is y'all's regional at?
It's in DeQueen. So another reason to have them there, you know, you get one game. One win there, then and you're then, going to state.
Yeah, a trip to Monticello again.
Yeah.
Eat at Ray's.
Yeah, and we'll get to eat at Ray's again. You like that coleslaw hot dog, don't you, Tony?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They did have coleslaw yeah. for their hot dogs.
Yeah, but it hopefully we get to do that. You know, and I them getting to second seed would be big in doing that, I think.
Yeah.
But, you know, I also think that the Leopards have, you know, Their strength is pitching.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a big deal in when you get in these tournaments because you're playing 3 games in 3 days or something like that.
They will definitely be in – and you could even tell Friday when Arkadelphia had kind of gone through their pitching a little bit. We still had a lot of pitching left. You have Logan Patrician left. You got a lot of pitching
yeah,
left.
Yeah, yeah.
The Strickland boy that threw for them pitched real well early and then kind of got away from him there in the middle innings. But looking at him and looking who Arkadelphia brought in after that, we have more pitching than Arkadelphia
yeah.
does.
Yep.
Well, the against the Outlaws on Thursday, Rowan Sanchez pitched the whole game. And I would think he's probably, you know, the way people do their starters, he's probably a 3 or 4 for
he's
y'all.
He's your R4.
And, yeah. You know, he pitched really well against the Outlaws. Gave up 6 hits, I believe, is what we had. But, I mean, if you got that coming in after everybody else, you're doing okay on pitching.
Yeah, yeah. And they do – pitching is their strength, and I think that's going to bode them well as they go into region and state, hopefully. Lady Leopards, Tony, had a great week. They 3 wins last week.
Yeah, they're 10-2 on the year, 6-2 in the league. Beat Arkadelphia twice and Derek's once by a combined score of 35-2. They are set kind of like the boys are. You know, Camden is not having a good year. I don't think they won a conference game. We play them twice this week. It looks like the Lady Leopards are also going to be the 2 seed.
Well, they're the 2 seed even if they lose both of those games, I think.
Does somebody else have 5?
I'm just saying that's what Chad was here this morning too, and he said Friday night solidified them as the 2 seed.
Well, that's great news.
But anyway, I don't. Camden Fairview not very good in softball anyway. They're at the bottom of the league, so having those 2 wins, which due to the weather, the Lady Leopards are going to play. As we speak tonight, and they'll play at Camden Fairview tonight instead of playing later in the week at Camden. So
it does look like the only teams they could tie with are Hope and Arkadelphia, and they've swept both of them.
Right.
So he's right.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So they, you know, they got a second seed locked up, looking for, you know, regional tournament. week after next. You know, they're going to play Camden Fairview twice this week. And looks like they're also going to play Horatio, weather permitting, which looks a little iffy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything past Tuesday looks iffy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll just have to see what we can do. Tony, you got a shelter insurance, Jeff Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week.
We're going with Perry Nickerson. She was on fire this week, 15 innings pitched. As close as I can figure, gave up two runs. One was earned, and somewhere in the 25 strikeout range.
Okay.
Wow.
So great week by Perry Nickerson, as every week is. She's done an excellent job. And you know, talked to her earlier today, told her, I said, I can't remember who the pitcher was before you. It's been that long.
I know.
Yeah. I
remember a girl named Ethy pitching.
Yeah, that's who she said Ethy was the pitcher.
But that, I mean, it seems like, I was like 25 when that was.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a really long time.
Perry's in her seventh year as a leopard pitcher.
It kind of seems like it, but you know,
she got the COVID year. She got a redshirt year.
Yeah.
Get that seventh year out there, and y'all be forfeiting some games.
But, you know, all those girls they've been playing since they were in the ninth grade, you know, and you look at those seniors, one of the reasons why they're doing so well.
Yeah.
You know, they've just played together a lot and doing a great job. Look forward to seeing how they do in regionals and then on into state.
Well, you know, the battery in baseball and softball, both probably the most important thing. The Leopards, you know, and the Scrapperettes are tough. They are tough. But just solely the battery, pitcher, catcher, I'm not sure there's anybody that's more solid than we are.
No.
So.
No, Kat Sokash, just an amazing catcher.
Yeah, been best catcher in the conference for 3 years.
Yeah, that's right. And so Perry Nickerson, our Jeff Woods Shelter Insurance Agency Leopard Player of the Week.
Well, let's take a second to talk about DeQueen Animal Hospital at 1690 Highway 70 West right here in DeQueen, 870-642-8387. Amazing service that they have on offer. Veterinary services covered in Southwest Arkansas, including Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, one and the same, 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown, 870-898-5181. Call either of those numbers to schedule your veterinary services today, and they do it all, whether it's emergencies, routine, or maybe you just need to pick up some of that medication. It is flea and tick season right away, so get some of their very cost-effective pills that they have and medications for that stuff, spay and neutering, all of it covered, including, like I said, emergency services. So if you need to rush your loved pet down to either of those places, they can take care of them, big or small. Dr. Martin is an excellent guy to have on your side when it comes to any veterinary services that you might need. He's a great guy. He's got great pet side manners. Is what we're calling it now. And just fantastic folks. And they've been sponsoring.
You sit around in your office and think of that.
Yeah, story. I do.
He doesn't have an office.
It's all I do. Yeah, it's right here. And they've been sponsoring the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air since the very beginning. So we want to give a big shout out to them. Let's get on the phone. We got Jim Cross on the line.
Jim, good to hear from you.
Hey, good to be with you guys today. Getting excited, baseball time, district tournament right around the corner.
All right. What you got for us? How'd the Panthers do last week?
Well, the boys had a good week. They defeated Falk on Friday and did that game, and it was a good close game early on, and then Panthers kind of broke it open late with some good hitting highlighted by Cutter Dollarhide, Wood Walton, Gunnar Altenbaumer. And Wood Walton, boy, he really had a good game. He had three hits and then also made a catch in center field that I'd already defined as a double, and he just came out of nowhere and caught it. And so Wood really playing well, and that's really been a big boost. Anytime you can put somebody like that in center field to, you know, take away a double, boy, that just takes the air out of the balloon of the other team, and that's kind of what happened. And Wood did a good job. And Walt Jones pitched the first four innings and shut out ball, and then Tyler Porter and Kyler Jones finished the game. And Panthers came out with a big victory. We go to Prescott today. If we win today, then we'll be the regular season district champs and number one seed.
Man, you can't do better than that.
No. It's been great.
And y'all, in the last two or three weeks, y'all been on a really good roll. I've got your overall record at 15-6. Well, that's what Scorebook Live has it. And, I mean, y'all really played well as of late. And, you know, we talked about this last week. Falk is not shabby. Falk's got a pretty good baseball team. So
yeah, they do. They've got a couple of guys who can really hit the baseball. And yeah, their shortstop's really good. Chandler, the guy that plays, the good basketball player, which is no surprise, a good shortstop. And, yeah, and their pitcher was pretty good. And so that's a game that you can't take for granted. And, you know, the Falk hung around with us for a while. And then at the end, it was just too much Panthers. But what I've been pleased with, guys, and talking to Coach O'Bannon about is, you know, hitting's going to come and go. But our defense has been really solid all year, and that's what's kind of kept us afloat. And we just don't hardly make any errors. And they make all the routine plays.
Well, you're right. It's hard enough to get 21 outs without giving them 24 or 25. You know, it really is. And you know, in high school athletics, when you start calculating unearned runs and how many times unearned runs beat you, it really makes a difference.
Oh, it certainly does, guys. And that was a big win. And then we defeated Smackover also earlier in the week, and had a good game as well. Kyler Jones pitched well that day. And so he's really kind of coming into the groove as well. He was hurt earlier in the season, and he's kind of slotted in the number two pitcher right behind Walt Jones. And so you throw those two guys out there with Jared Baker. He's had a good season. And Tyler Porter, he came in and pitched a little bit the other day too. So that gives us, plus him and Gunnar Altenbaumer, that gives you four or five guys to throw out there. And so that's been a big bonus as well.
That sounds like the baseball team had a good week. How'd the girls do, Jim?
Well, guys, another tough week for the girls. They didn't play Friday. They're not playing today. I haven't really reached out to coach yet, but I'm assuming they don't have enough to play. Wow. They only had nine the game I did on Monday, and a couple of girls kind of got banged up a little bit. So, like I say, they're not on schedule to play today. They did not play Friday. So I'm assuming it's probably over for them.
Okay.
It's been a tough year, not just from a wins and loss standpoint, but just the lack of experience, you know, the lack of maybe that on the field quarterback or leader, you know. So,
but I will say the game I did Monday, you know, we lost, but there were four or five plays they made defensively that they would not have made 6 weeks ago.
Right.
The left fielder, Sophia Lacey, she made a catch in left field. I went, oh my. I mean, she ran to the, took a few steps back, took the angle toward the fence like she's supposed to, and made a great catch, and made two or three other catches as well. And so, you know, defensively, they were getting a lot better. It's just offensively, they just couldn't get enough hits together and don't have much team speed. And so they couldn't bunt, couldn't steal. And so offensively, they were pretty limited. But defensively, you could see them getting better, you know, each time I saw them play.
Well, maybe in the offseason, they can get it together and come back stronger next spring.
Yeah, I hope so. I think there's some, from what I understand, there's some 7th and 8th grade girls that are coming up that are pretty talented. And so, you know, maybe this is just a down cycle. And it happens at all of our schools.
Right.
Well, Jim, going back to baseball just for a second, y'all have a district tournament. Because some conferences do, some don't. So that's going to start next week?
Yes. Okay. I believe it starts next Monday. It's at Genoa.
Okay. Okay.
And so we'll be the number one seed unless something crazy happens. And so we'll automatically qualify for the regional without even winning a game. So it'll be good. Now, the regionals are held here, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's another good thing. Yeah, so that's really good. So you get to play close to home. You don't have to go far off to, you know, even Genoa's not a long bus ride, so that's not too bad.
It's also good for the radio broadcaster too.
That's for sure.
You'll get to see a lot of good baseball that week of the regionals as well.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Hopefully we'll have good weather and all that good stuff. But I'll tell you guys something I thought was very impressive. At the senior night we had that Friday, And, you know, that's always an emotional time. Gosh, we got nine seniors. And at the end, the seniors put together a little piece that they wrote themselves to thank Coach Jordan O'Bannon. And I thought that was very touching. You see that a lot from girls, but typically boys are not that connected to their coach like they are. And Coach O'Bannon's only been here 1 year.
Yeah.
But that just tells you what a great class act he is, and a good coach, and even a better person. And he's really connected with those guys really, really well. So I thought that was very touching that they had that moment for him at the field on Friday night.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that is. Anything else, Jim, before we name our Domtar Panther Player of the Week?
I think that's it, guys. It's been a good week, and looking forward to going to Prescott today, and we'll see how that goes, and get ready for district tournament.
Good luck against the Wolves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who you got for the Domtar Panther Player of the Week?
Well, since I've still dropped my jaw on the Wood Walton catch, you got to give it to Wood Walton. Like I say, he had three hits, and then I'm telling you, fellas, that catch he made, I mean, I don't know where he came from. I mean, there was no way that he's going to catch that ball.
It was a call. That's trouble. That's going to be a – no, it's not going to be a double.
It's going to be that's exactly what I said, fellas.
I do the same thing. We usually they hit right to somebody.
And then after he made the catch, I said, Panther fans, what do I know? I
mean, yeah. So Wood Walton's the Domtar Player of the Week. Also got the Big Gillies gift certificate. So
yes,
he'll be slowed down next week from eating all that good barbecue.
Yeah, that's right. Hope he didn't eat too much. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. But congratulations to him for being the Domtar Panther Player of the Week. Jim, anything else?
I think that covers it, guys. Appreciate your good work, and looking forward to visiting with you next week.
Appreciate you, Jim.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate
you.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You too.
Big thanks to Jim Cross for calling in, as always, every single week. And now I'm excited. Let's talk some Outlaws. Jeff Tuttle in studio, as always.
Not always.
Not always,
Most of the time.
Most of the time. 98%.
Has he missed?
Of course he's missed.
Jeff Tuttle, has he missed?
Yeah. Yes, he has missed.
Well, he's missed on what he's presented, but yeah. I'm talking about has he missed being in here.
Yeah. Misrepresented.
Yeah. But, you know, the big deal for the Outlaws last week was the golf tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah, big success in small part to Jeff Tuttle.
That's right.
In no small part, actually. Jeff.
I'll take a small part of the... Yeah. Recognition.
Yeah. Jeff, a big part of that. Yeah. Don't let him fool you. Well, maybe the biggest part of it.
We appreciate people like you and your team showing up. I mean, that is the biggest fundraiser we have for the Outlaw Booster Club. And as I mentioned on Facebook, it doesn't happen without the sponsors and the players.
Nice.
And, you know, it was a huge success. Whether we thought it was a threat for 2 or 3 days and We had it filled up with 36 teams. One dropped out the day before, and I even told our team, we call them the Dream Team, the Booster Club, in our group message, I said, we'll have 5 or 6 teams not show up because of the weather. We had 35 teams there. The nice. One team that dropped out ahead of time was the only one that didn't show up. So I want to thank the Booster Club for – I mean, I kind of get it together, and then on Saturday I tell them, I say, it's all y'all. I'm playing golf. Which is a questionable statement. But, I mean, they make it run smoothly while I'm out there. But.
I own golf clubs, and I'm going to ride in a cart.
Yeah, I am just going to swing them at one point.
Yeah, I just want to give a big shout-out to Ty Nuttall. Cooked about 14 tons of chicken.
Nice.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was great.
That's the best chicken you'll eat.
He does a good job with that. But, you know, I also appreciate you the team you put me with, he put me with two guys, one of whom I played football against, his dad, and the other one I played softball with, his dad.
Nice.
So, you know, nothing to make me feel like even older than I actually am. I'm playing, and these kids, I mean, they're hitting the ball 400 yards. And it's like, I got hit 2 shots, and I'm still 50 yards short of them.
But, since we didn't do this podcast when a couple of those were playing, we're going to give them a shout-out. A couple of outlaw greats you played with, Remington Jester and Andrew Sermon.
Yeah.
I mean, those kids could play every sport.
Yeah.
So, And they got to play golf with you.
Yeah.
Did you sign autographs when y'all were finished?
I did not sign any autographs because by the time Tax we returns. Got through, they were so tired of looking at me hit the shots I hit. They just left.
They just left.
Tyler said they brought their tax returns for Greg to sign. Sign off on them.
Can I get your autograph, sir?
Yeah. Right here on my tax return. Yeah.
Sherman T. Potter.
But yeah,
we want to watch MASH. We'll get that.
Yeah. We want to thank everybody for coming out and playing in that. And I mean, we look forward to it next year. And I'm ready to take a little break from it for a few months. But
yeah,
it was a big turnout and big success.
Yeah, nice. It really was. It's great. It's a great time. If you don't play golf, just come over and hang out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's, I don't know how many people were there, but that place was full.
Yeah, it was full. They, some of us told us that Glenwood, they do the Snowman Scramble in like March, and it's their club's biggest tournament of the year. And they told us the other day that ours is bigger than it. So, yeah. I mean, they like to see us coming.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and we know why.
Yeah. They make some money.
That's right.
Everybody makes some money. Yeah, though, yeah. So that's right.
That's
what it's all about.
Yeah. But so how about the Outlaws and Lady Outlaws last week?
Rough week for the Outlaws and Lady Outlaws last week. The Outlaws went 0-3. They lost to Spring Hill 10-0, DeQueen 13-3, and Murfreesboro 12-2. I didn't get to. I watched fewer Outlaw games last week than I probably have in the last 20 years because of the golf tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I was running around doing all kinds of things. I did call the DeQueen game on the radio. And I was impressed with y'all. We'll get into that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Lady Outlaws went 1-2. They defeated Spring Hill for their second win of the season. They lost to DeQueen, and they lost to Murfreesboro. Both teams' games scheduled for this week. Both teams play Caddo Hills today on Monday. I'm calling the softball game. May not get that in time to know that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Both teams will travel to Falk later in the week. It's different dates on my schedule, so I'm afraid to even say what day, because you would think they would go at the same time. But and then host Mountain Pine on Friday, and as y'all mentioned, we may not get those games Thursday and Friday in with the weather. On a side note, you know, they moved the junior high district track meet to today because of weather, so hopefully I'll have some good news to report on that next week. But back to last week's ball games, you know, the softball team, like I say, I didn't get to watch any. You know, I know that Kristen Eisenhower, she leads the way for us in the circle, pitching most games. And the coaches told me Aspen Pugh had some good games, good hits. Riley Simmons, great plays in the field. So you got the same ones leading the way. I mean, and that's our veterans on the team. The rest of the team's going to be fairly young, and it's a good time to put it together right now, you know, with a win last week, because they're going to need a win or two in the district tournament next week probably to move on. It starts next week. Boys won't have a district tournament. So, you know, they were led last week by Dylan Moore with two hits against DeQueen. He had one hit against Spring Hill, and I didn't really get a whole lot. They didn't have a whole lot of hits last week, to be honest. So they played a couple of tough conference games, Spring Hill and Murfreesboro. Probably 1-2 in the conference right now, and I think Spring Hill might be the number one seed right now, because I know they defeated Murfreesboro. And as y'all mentioned, they played DeQueen, and DeQueen's, they're looking at a two in y'all's conference. Yeah, I mean, the boys had three tough games last week.
Anything else you got, or are you ready to name the Todd Moore Shelter Insurance Outlaw Player of the Week?
Well, you know me, I could talk about that golf tournament the rest of the day.
I understand.
We'll move on.
Yeah, you're going to give it to Greg, the Player of the Week?
Yeah. Well, when we talked about number 37 a while ago, I thought he was going to bring up that 37. He shot on the front nine.
Oh, yeah.
He never mentioned it.
Yeah, it's all three of us. That's right. It, you know, I'm not the Player of the Week. I'm the Payer of the Week.
I got you. Yeah. Yep.
Everybody was at the golf
tournament. That's right.
I mean, paying for a good cause. Now, Todd Moore, Shelter Insurance Outlaw Player of the Week. This week, we're going to go with Dylan Moore, senior outfielder for the Outlaws. Bats usually two or three in the lineup, you know, and he led them in hits last week with three hits. But that's not going to be the biggest news for Dylan Moore this week, as Friday at the Derricks High School, Friday morning, he's signing a letter of intent to play basketball for Crowley Ridge. So congratulations to Dylan.
Congratulations, Dylan.
Player of the week.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great basketball player. And Crowley's Ridge getting a good one there.
Nice. So,
good job. Anything else, Outlaw?
I think that's all I've got right now.
All right. So we move on.
Let's talk about the Lions, man.
All right. Ratio Lions, 5-14 on the year, 5-5. Lady Lions, 9-9, 4-1. This week, Lady Lions, well, baseball and softball are at Spring Hill and at Murfreesboro, or versus Murfreesboro at home. Excuse me. Softball's at DeQueen Thursday. Broken Bow is
baseball.
Broken Bow. Baseball is going to be at home playing Hope, assuming the weather holds.
Yeah, the Lady Lions this week beat Foreman and Caddo 33-1.
Wow.
that's pretty good. Lost to Carlisle 5-4.
Yeah, so they had a good week. The Lions, they beat Foreman 13-0. Trey Smith there had a one hitter, had 10 strikeouts. And Jake Smith was 2-for-3 with 2 RBIs. They also lost to Mount Ida 15-3, then beat Caddo Hills 9-4. And in that one, Jake Smith went 2-for-3 again. So, and Banhart and Ochoa combined for an 8-hitter there, had 5 strikeouts. So, you know, Lions playing better. You know, they started off really slow and winning some games now. Lady Lions doing really well, you know, especially Paige Williamson pitching.
Well, we knew they wasn't going to keep playing the way they were playing the first 2 or 3 weeks of the year. They're just too good a program for that.
Yeah, that's right. And for Horatio State Bank Lion Player of the Week this week, we're going to go with Jake Smith, who had two games where he was 2-for-3 and had 2 RBIs. So a good week for him, and congratulations to him on being the Horatio State Bank Lion Player of the Week.
Sounds great, man. What about them Gators down in Foreman?
So we move on to the Gators. Gators and Lady Gators. Looking at their records, Gators 6-10, 4-6 in conference. Lady Gators 7-6, 3-2 in conference. And the girls, they lost Horatio and Cutter Morning Star. Allie Lee, player of the week for them this week with a great effort against Cutter Morning Star, especially. Foreman boys went 1-1 as they lost Horatio, but they beat Cutter. In that Cutter game, Eli Long, a freshman, pitched 7 innings, had 6 strikeouts, and only threw 88 pitches. So he had good control.
Yeah, sounds like
that. Aiden Lopez for the week hit 500 and scored 2 runs. So for the Gators this week, their Horatio State Bank Gator Player of the Week is going to be Eli Long, the pitcher, with 7 innings pitched, 6 strikeouts, and a good control. Congratulations to him for being the Horatio State Bank Gator Player of the Week.
I love it, man.
Yep. Now we move on.
North.
Cossatot River Eagles. Tony?
Eagles 7-5 on the year, 4-3 in the league. Had 3 wins last week, beat Boonville 6-5, Kirby 15-0, and Lamar 8-7. Lady Eagles 2-10 on the year. Had a win last week, though, 16-1 versus Kirby, and then losses to Boonville and Lamar. So the boys also have clinched a 4-seed or better, kind of in a situation where they can't fall out now.
Yeah.
So that is good news for them. Both teams play at Akron and at Foreman this week. And our Union Bank of Mena Eagle Player of the Week is going to be Connor McCormick, who had 12 strikeouts versus Lamar.
All right. Great job by Connor McCormick, and congratulations to him for being the Union Bank of Mena Eagle Player of the Week. I think that concludes all the individual awards and schools, and we're going to look now at our Toad Thumper Lures Girls Player of the Area.
Yeah. We're going to go with Perry Bell Nickerson, and you know, Perry has just – she has been a fixture in Leopard softball now for 4 years, and like we say, we can't remember a time that she wasn't pitching, and it's hard to imagine a time where she won't be pitching.
Yeah.
So congratulations, Perry.
Yep, and then we've got the Horatio State Bank boys player of the year, and that's going to go to
Connor McCormick of the Causatot River Eagles with his 12 strikeout game versus Lamar.
Great job by Connor McCormick. Congratulations to him. And then we've got our Ada Rose Design Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air player of the area, and that goes to
Logan Patrician, who pitched well last week, hit a couple home runs. Just he in the game Friday against Arkadelphia, after he got out of the first inning, Greg, which he threw 25 pitches, he was unhittable.
Yeah.
He was unhittable. He only allowed three base runners in the whole game, one hit, two walks. I think both those walks were in the first inning, am I correct?
Yes.
And boy, after that, I mean, the Badgers had no answer. So he's going to be our
two home runs and I believe five RBIs on Thursday against the Outlaws.
Yeah, he had a pretty good week.
Not bad.
So he's going to be our Ada Rose Designs Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air player of the area.
Yeah, congratulations to Logan. We appreciate Ada Rose Designs for what they do. Just in case you don't know, they give a T-shirt every week for whoever wins.
That is
the player
awesome
of the area. And a big deal. I think the kids like that. And Logan Patrician will be receiving his as soon as we can find him.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it takes us a little bit longer to find some than others. I posted one this week that was, you know, 3 or 4 weeks old. I can't remember when it was, but never meet up with
our footprint is pretty scattered out, and
it ain't because
we don't want to get them there quick. It's just because we got to find somebody headed that direction.
And they do like them, because I've got a kid that asked me about his every time I see him. He hadn't got it yet.
well, you got to put him up, man.
No way to throw Tuttle under the bus.
Yeah, I know. I had to do something there. Go ahead.
I just told him you don't carry him with you when you're on your motorcycle.
Okay.
He's got it coming. He just doesn't have it yet.
Yeah. Well, we'll get there, man. But we got to talk about UA Causatot.
Yeah, man. Let's talk about them. Their athletics department is absolutely booming. You can support them separately by going to uacausatotcolts.com, which is awesome. They have a really cool website for their athletics department. Basketball, soccer, shooting sports, all going crazy. We all say go Colts here, and we appreciate them for sponsoring the podcast, of course. But if you're interested in UA Causatot proper, www.cccua.edu. You can check out all their programs of study they have offered. Adult education as well. You can get your GED prep and more. They're committed to helping their communities grow. That's what happens when you have U of A, man. They help the communities that they're in. So one way to accomplish that is offering accessible and completely free adult education courses such as GED prep, ESL, basic computer skill, and so much more, all for all those who are seeking to further their academic and professional careers. You can go to cccua.com or .edu, excuse me, and check out all of their programs of study on offer. Mm-hmm. You can check out all of the information on state scholarships and grants for study. And if you're an employer, all the resources that you could possibly imagine. They have certain programs where they literally have a 100% job placement efficiency. So that's incredible. Commercial truck driving, frontline leadership, pharmacy techs, medical billing and coding, nursing assistants, all this stuff, man. There is jobs for you.
Yep.
And it's just fantastic. So UA Causatot, huge sponsor of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. We appreciate them so much, and you can learn more by going to www.cccua.edu.
That pretty much wraps up the coverage of the high school sports. We're going to talk about a couple of different things. Looks like Tony's got Arkansas baseball heading up. They're on the down track
now. Tough week last week.
Yeah, the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
They've lost two series. You know, they'd won 12 games in a row in the SEC, ended up losing to Georgia the week before the series there, and now they've lost to Texas A&M this week. So probably going to drop a little bit in the polls. They were number two this week, Texas number one. You know, SEC, man, in baseball is just –
Oh, yeah, it'll be the same as it was in basketball. Yeah. I mean, how many of the SEC baseball teams we'll make a regional. You know,
I would guess eight of them will host regionals.
Yeah, I was going to say most of them will host.
Yeah. You know, that they'll be hosting half of the regionals probably.
Yeah, I would not doubt that.
Yeah, and Arkansas is still a good team. You know that you kind of want to be going the other way right now, not the way they're going. But, you know, if you're going to have a little bad spell right now, it's better than, you know, getting in the SEC tournament and then moving on from there. And hopefully they'll pick it up. They got a tough game. Not sure if it's this weekend or next weekend. I think it's next weekend they play Texas for three-game set up in Fayetteville. I'm going to tell you, you won't be able to stir them with a stick at that. and, you know, at the same time, LSU is going to be playing the Lady Razorbacks in softball. So, man, it's going to be packed in Fayetteville. You won't be able to get in and out of there. But anyway, moving on from that, I'm going to skip that next one, and let's do that last.
Okay.
That's okay with you.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about I'm a Leva, as I call him. I'm a Leva. Last week, Tony didn't get in on that, but we now know where I'm a Leva's going.
Yeah.
I'm a Leva, Tennessee for UCLA.
That's right.
A California kid. You know, I don't know how much money he got. He was looking for $4 million a year from Tennessee, was getting $2 million.
I would doubt that he got that.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, now he won't tell.
Yeah, of course he won't. If he'd have got $4 million a year, he told.
Yeah. 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 And so, you know, I think one of the things, you know, I saw, and I can't remember who said this. I can. What was the guy that coached at Florida, then Ohio State? And then Urban Meyer. He's a Fox sportscaster. Now he said, Tennessee fans aren't going to care about what's going on. They all saying now that Heupel's taking the high road, and they won't care when they lose to Florida by, you know, 6 points, and they don't have I'm a Leva.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I know one of the assistant coaches was pretty Lester, you can take him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then UCLA. Hey,
I don't know how you say his name, but it sure fits I'm a Leva.
UCLA.
How do you say his name, Tony? Do you know?
I'm going with I'm a Leva, too.
Okay. You know, the interesting side note to me on all that, I don't know if y'all know where his brother plays?
I did, but I forgot.
He decommitted from UCLA, and they're wondering if he'll go back to UCLA. He's an Arkansas Razorback, backup quarterback, true freshman.
Okay.
I gotcha.
And, you know, so that's kind of an interesting, because, I mean, that was the big deal. They said, you know, well, do you think he'll go back to UCLA? Because he was committed there, decommitted, and Bobby Petrino got him to sign with us. And
So that's a bit of a history with that.
Yeah.
And I heard from UCLA, one of those guys who was playing with him.
Go ahead.
Derek, we don't want him.
You can do this all day long.
Well, hey, if the name fits.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. But here's the deal with me is, and I don't know what happened there. It'll get out. And if, you know, I'm actually hoping he took less money.
Yes.
And because that's going to make this thing go the way I think it needs to go.
Yeah.
There's got to be some control over this stuff. I mean, it's just crazy, kid. He worked out all through spring practice, skipped the spring game at the last minute, just didn't show up. Mm-hmm. He didn't tell anybody.
Mm-hmm.
He just didn't show up and then said he's not going to play there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of stuff. I mean, why would you want somebody like that? I mean, if they do it once, are they not going to do it again?
Of course not. Yeah,
or at least that's what I think. But
yeah,
but anyway,
we were all hoping that nobody would pick him up, right?
Yeah,
and then that would be like put the kibosh on that.
But of course,
but it's a win at all costs. Somebody's going to take him just because of potential.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and you know, and I mean, I'm not. You know, it's not like Arkansas is above that. That's exactly what we did in basketball.
Yeah,
we just hired.
I was hoping y'all would recognize.
Yeah, well, I said that right off the bat. Whenever they picked him up, they paid a guy enough money, and then they paid the players enough money to come.
Hmm.
You know, and you saw what we got. We still, I mean, we made it to the Sweet 16, but okay.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to pay, if you're going to pay them the amount of money we were paying them, you need to make it all the way.
Yeah.
I mean, that, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, well, you need to be able to beat the Lakers in the play-in game.
Yeah.
If you're going to pay that kind of money.
Well, that's not, yeah. I think that's not that hard to do. But actually, they did win the play-in game.
Right.
But they lost to the Timberwolves by 22 in the first round of the playoffs.
Wow. Yeah, word is they're trying to figure out a way to get Steph Curry so they can put him with Luka and LeBron.
Yeah,
you know, if they assemble enough superstars, maybe the Lakers can get out of the first round of the playoffs.
Well, what they're going to do is they're going to play with three basketballs.
So
they'll all have enough to score.
I was thinking maybe
LeBron
tries to get a recliner on the team and he can just watch.
Have somebody push
maybe one with wheels.
One of those kind of pushes him out when he needs to do something.
I was open.
I would love nothing more than the Timberwolves to sweep them. It probably not going to happen, but but now the Lakers have got to win 3 out of 4 because it's best of 5, correct?
Yep.
So
is Bronny still on the team?
Who cares?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm sure he is.
I believe so, or we would have all heard about it.
Yeah. I don't think he's playing.
Yeah.
But
he just gets water for his dad?
Yeah, probably. Probably. Here you go, Dad. But anyway, you know, most impressive.
Let Mark McGwire's son be a bat boy when McGwire played for the A's. Maybe he's the bat boy.
Yeah, he may be. He may be. You know, the most impressive thing from the first games of the playoffs was Oklahoma City to me. I mean, they just tore up Memphis.
Yeah.
Just tore them up and beat them by 51.
Wow.
I think that's 1 point short of a record in the first round of the playoffs. But did a really good job. I'm pulling for them, mainly because there's a couple of Arkansas guys on there. That's the only reason.
They're close by.
But yeah, they are close by.
That's such a bad beating. You could just be like, all right, that series is we're good.
Yeah.
I like them because they used to be the Supersonics, and I was a Supersonics fan.
Yeah, that's true. So, anything else y'all want to talk about in the NBA world before we move on?
Didn't even want to talk about that. I didn't even want to talk about all that in the NBA.
Well, you did have to bring your Supersonics reference.
Well, yeah, I mean, I had to have some input. Yeah,
so now the real deal going on this week, NFL draft.
Yeah.
It's time. So now we're going to get to see if the Steelers are actually going to have a quarterback, if they're going to direct snap to the running back.
Right.
They still got Aaron Rodgers.
I think they should try that.
Well, it might work.
It might work.
It did in the 40s.
And then in a few years, everybody would be like, why are we paying any money to these quarterbacks? They're useless. Steelers come through.
They're going to have to get a better line before they do that, right, Tony? All right.
They have a lot of issues.
Yeah. As a lot of teams do. I'm not going to say anything, but I will do this.
Greg covers the star.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, I just like the hat.
Yeah, looks comfortable.
Yeah, but you know, we're going to talk a little bit about the first picks and who we think is going to be the first picks. And Tony was kind enough to put out some stuff here.
It's in Pro Football Weekly, and I thought maybe it would be fun. I mean, I love the draft. I'll watch, you know, as much of it as I can. You think about – there's some interesting things maybe we can talk about. We can – I don't know if y'all have studied it enough to know who might the first 5 teams pick, or you just want to listen to what I think.
I could always throw some guesses out there.
We'll start with a little trivia. It does look like Mike Green from Marshall, who led the country in sacks last year, is going to be picked in the first round. A lot of people have him going to the Falcons 15 or the Bengals 17, which is not ideal for me. If that occurs, he would be the 4th Marshall player to go in the first round. Who are the other 3?
Chad Pennington was 1.
Chad Pennington is
Moss.
1. Randy Moss is 1.
And the quarterback that he's the offensive coordinator, I can't think
Byron
of his
Leftwich.
Name. Byron Leftwich, yeah.
The is that funny?
No.
Not to be confused with Myron Sandwich.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's right.
I knew you were looking for something there.
No, I have a funny story about Byron Leftwich, but it's not for the air. Oh, so we'll talk about it later.
Okay.
Okay. We'll turn the recording off a second. Anyway, they actually, of those three, Leftwich went in the seventh round. Pennington went in like the seventh pick. Pennington went like 11. The Steelers picked Plexico Burress and bypassed Pennington. I was so upset that day. And then Moss went 21. Maybe, arguably, the one or two best receiver of all time.
I would say second best.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, failed a 21.
That's attitude and issues, though.
Well, it also playing at Marshall.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people didn't think that he had played the competition that some of these other guys have played. But you look at the list of the people taking ahead of Randy Moss, and it's hilarious.
Yeah. Well, I mean, excellent player, great player. But, I mean, the reason he was at Marshall was because of issues.
Conduct issues.
Where did he start his career? At the Vikings?
Yeah, he was picked by the Vikings.
Yeah. Who was quarterbacking them at that time?
You know what? I think it was Culpepper.
Okay. Yeah, I can remember him and Culpepper.
Yeah.
Being good.
I ain't going to talk about Culpepper.
I was just going to say, you know, if he'd have been with Brady for 10 years,
yeah,
he would have every record out there.
He would. You're exactly right. Looking at the draft this year, the Tennessee Titans have the first round pick. They're going to take Cam Ward, who is the quarterback from Miami. He's Jeff's favorite college quarterback.
Don't get me started.
He's going to be the number one overall pick. Seems like he may have made the right decision, Jeff, to sit out a half.
I don't care if he sits out the whole game. Let's get back to this bowl game issue.
Yeah.
I knew this was going
to. He stayed in the game to break a record and then decided he needed to be healthy.
Yeah.
And his team wins that game if he stays in and plays the second half. Okay, I'm done with it.
Yeah. Can you blame him?
Tuttle has left the building.
He quit on the he quit on the Hurricanes in college. He'll definitely quit on the Titans in the NFL.
Yeah.
Because the Hurricanes are probably better.
Wow.
Well. That brings us, and I mean, he's going to be the first pick. That brings you to the Cleveland Browns. And this is where the draft is going to get interesting. One pick in, it's going to get interesting because you never know what the Browns are going to do. You know, Pro Football Weekly has them taking Shedeur Sanders. They're not going to take him.
No.
Because it makes too much sense. They are going to take somebody like Travis Hunter, I think. They like the aspect of having the two-way player. They need a wide receiver, but some people think that he's a better cornerback than wide receiver. I think he'll sell tickets at least for a while.
That's what I was going to say. They're looking at ticket sales too. I mean,
yeah. So I'm putting Travis Hunter in that hole, which when you move Hunter up, it changes the picks behind him because a lot of people are projecting the Giants to take Hunter. They're not going to take Hunter. Now, the Giants have said they're going to take the best available player regardless of need. That would be Abdul Carter, the edge player from Penn State. A lot of people think he's the best defensive lineman, you know, in the draft. So
that's not who they're going to take.
You don't think so, huh?
No.
Do you think they'll take Shedeur Sanders?
Yeah.
Mm.
I think they will. I think.
Why would you sign Russell Wilson and do that?
Because it's a one-year deal for Russell Wilson, basically.
He may have, but
they'll cut him. They'll do something. I'm just saying. I bet you it's incentive laid.
It probably is.
And I don't know that, but I'm just telling you, they got to have a quarterback.
So you're going to go with Sanders
in the third pick
to the Giants.
To the Browns, I'm going back with. I'm saying they're taking a running back. They're going to take that Boise State running back. Because they don't need a quarterback right now. They got 14. None of them are – they're all old.
I can't
stuff.
Imagine them passing on Hunter to take that Gentry kid.
Well, I the only reason I think so is because they do stupid stuff all the time. Mm.
if I was a running back, I'd hate to go to the Browns.
Yeah, me too.
They lose one to ACL every year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that. I mean, my deal is I agree with the Titans taking Cam Ward, number one. But if I was Cleveland, I'd take Abdul Carter. that's who I'd take, but they won't do that.
No, I mean, they got Myles Garrett. They just locked him up.
I know, but still, you know.
Just to get into conversation, if I've got a quarterback, man, that Penn State tight end, Warren,
yeah,
he's fun to watch. He's going to be a game changer in the NFL.
Yeah, and he could climb up a little bit. That goes to the Patriots, which Pro Football Weekly has them taking Abdel Carter. I don't think he's going to be there. And so I've got them. They have offensive line needs like the Steelers do. So I've got them taking Will Campbell from LSU. So a lot of people think he's the best offensive lineman in the draft.
Do offensive linemen usually go in the first round?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes they're the first picks.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Especially if they're a left tackle.
Yeah. Right.
Protect the blind side of the quarterback.
Yeah.
I knew they're. I know they're important. I just always wondering.
If he's not taken there, he'll fall quite a bit. But he's the best offensive lineman in the draft.
Nice.
And then the Jaguars pick fifth. They're going to go with like a defensive interior guy, which the best one is. I wish that he would fall to the Steelers, but he will not. Is Mason Graham from Michigan? He played really. You remember the playoff or not the playoff games, but late in the season. Michigan was on TV a couple of times, and Michigan didn't particularly play pretty well, but man, he did. He's a house. So I kind of think that's where he's going to go. So then you move down to the Dallas Cowboys, Greg.
Yeah.
they have the 12th pick, and Pro Football Weekly, Ibuka, from Ohio State, the wide receiver, which would be a great pick for the Cowboys. It really makes too much sense.
Yeah, they're not going to pick him.
Who are they going to pick?
They're going to pick they're going to pick a tackle.
Okay.
And I think it'd be the guy from Missouri.
Well, if he would fall to them, the Bears are thinking about an offensive lineman as well, and they're ahead of the Cowboys.
Well, and I see that. The only thing I can see – you know, I could see the Cowboys moving up if there was some way to do it to get Travis Hunter, because that again, it's the ringmaster.
Yeah, you're going to have to move into the two or three spot.
You're doing the show. You know, just trying to get in the show somehow.
I would think if Ginty was available, they would have to take him at running back.
Well, they should have no. Why would they do that?
Well, I'm just saying.
That makes too
much
sense.
Because they didn't do anything last year at running back.
Yeah. Well, they could, never mind.
Yeah,
I don't want to talk
people,
about that.
Since the combine, Amarian Hampton from North Carolina has kind of just, he's went from a second or third round pick up, he's in the first round now, but that might be a reach for the Cowboys at 12. But you could move down and maybe get him at 20, and maybe get a draft pick or two. So, which brings us to the mighty Pittsburgh Steelers. they're at 21, and I know less about what the Steelers are going to do this year than any year in a long time. Man, I going back to when I thought they should have took Chad Pennington when they took Plexico Burress. There is a thought out there that if Sanders gets out of the top three or four picks, that he could fall to 21 to the Steelers. He could do an Aaron Rodgers.
Hmm.
And if he falls to 21, the Steelers have got to take him. They don't have any choice.
Yeah. He's a quarterback?
Yeah. It's Deion's son.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah. And then
maybe he could wear number 37.
Maybe so. There's also the dark kid from Ole Miss. He's kind of climbed into the first round, but a lot of people have him at the end of the first round, and the Steelers are at 21. Could you trade down and maybe get another pick? The Steelers don't have a second pick. They gave that up for DK Metcalf. And maybe you get another pick in the third round or something like that. But if I had to guess right now, if it's quarterback, it'll be Sanders or Dart. If it's defense, it'll be Grant from Michigan, which a lot of people think that's who the Steelers are set on, is another interior lineman. You got Cam Hayward getting old, you know. So, I mean, he would be a good pick, but it doesn't solve the Steelers' problems at quarterback. So
they need a quarterback.
Just so you know, Shedeur Sanders won't solve their problems at quarterback.
Well,
I just don't.
It couldn't be a bad pick as Kenny Pickett was.
They've tried a Colorado quarterback before.
They have, and it worked out pretty well for them.
It did work out pretty well.
Yeah. Old Slash.
You got a theory on the Packers there?
They're not going to do anything splashy. They never do. I mean,
how would you like Mike Green to fall to Green Bay at 23?
But
the fastest defensive end in the draft.
You know, Tony shows where they need an edge rusher is what he had here, and got Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M. And, you know, the Packers never make that draft pick that makes you say, wow, I can't believe they done that.
Yeah.
2 years down the road, you might say, wow.
I can't believe they done that.
You know, but.
So they draft well, you think? Like, it's not splashy, but it makes sense.
The same way with the Cowboys.
Wow. Yeah. I can't believe
they did just that. For different reasons? Or?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the Packers, they're going to leave you. They're one of those that'll get a. They'll draft a linebacker or edge rushers first two rounds.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say,
some solid additions.
Quarterbacks, running backs, they're going to come along.
Yeah.
Like their wide receiving core right now is, they're so young.
Yeah.
But they would probably draft Shedeur if he dropped to 23.
Yeah.
Where'd
they make it to in the last playoffs?
When did they get beat? First round? They get beat?
I think that was second round, I thought. No? I don't know. I can't remember. I can't remember. But are they pretty solid right now? You happy with them?
Happy with them.
Yeah. I mean, they are
no obvious holes that need to be, you know, filled with a different type of position.
Tomlin needs to turn up his game. You can make the argument looking at the Steelers' first-round picks since Tomlin has been the coach. The best one, of course, is T.J. Watt. The second best one was Ryan Shazier. Shazier was on his way to being a great middle linebacker.
Oh, superstar.
Yeah, and he got hurt. But the rest of them are Bud Dupree, Artie Burns, Terrell Edmonds, Devin Bush, Kenny Pickett, Broderick Jones. I mean,
Devin Bush, I thought Devin Bush was a good pick. And what, he'd stay around 2 years or so before they?
Yeah, they cut him. They cut him before his rookie deal was up.
Wow. Wow, wow. So there you go. Steelers need a quarterback. They ain't not going to get one.
Well, not at 21.
Not at 21.
Unless Sanders does the Rodgers and just falls.
Why are they so low? Well, it's because they did okay, right?
Yeah, they were 10-7.
10-7. They're winning season, so you get pushed out.
That's the Steelers' whole problem over the last 10 years. They've been the perennial 11-6, 10-17, which puts you at the last two-thirds of the draft, which means you don't have a shot at the best players.
Right. It's like one of the worst places you could be, I guess, middle of the pack, or just like. Yeah.
Well, but because you don't have the success.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they haven't won a playoff game in 9 years or whatever it is, but you also haven't drafted in the top 15 in the last nine years either. So it's kind of purgatory.
Weird predicament there. Like, what do you do? Like, you
got a tank, or you've got to trade up, and they're just not the
or stay
the
where you are, which is what they've done for the last.
That's right, for the last 100 years.
Well, winning season is good, right? Because still,
well and again, it's about making restless. Money.
Yeah,
yeah. They, like he said, you know, when people quit going to the games, which they're a long way from that.
Yeah,
then you're gonna have a different issue.
Do they have a star? Do they have like a
T.J. Watt, probably.
T.J. Watt's on
the way. But they almost traded him. They may trade him now.
Yeah, they may trade him draft day. Yeah.
Najee Harris was on the verge.
It's until I wonder what kind of haul you could get for T.J. Watt.
You ought to get a good quarterback.
Yeah.
One for one, you mean?
T.J.
Watt. No, you get you.
There's probably
you get a
not
draft pick in there. Yeah, too. There's maybe a couple.
Yeah, there's not very many people in the NFL that T.J. Watt even up would be a. The Steelers would probably get more.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So he's more
maybe
valuable
Dak
than
Prescott being even.
Big. Yeah?
I'm just kidding.
You keep talking. He just like, so he's with the Cowboys. He's got to stay with the Cowboys, right?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
How do you get paid that much and then you just get
Else? Well, I mean, if you trade him, you trade his contract too.
That's right.
Gotcha. And that's one reason why he won't get traded.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
But you know, the thing about Dak Prescott is he gets a bad rap, in my opinion. He's a better quarterback than what
his reputation
is. You know, if they had put the players around him that they should have put around him in the last 2 years, they would have been good.
Yeah.
A good football team. I'm not going to say they had won the Super Bowl.
Right.
But they would have been a good football team. And matter of fact, if they had taken
Derrick Henry
last year, I'm going to say that makes the situation that Dak Prescott went through probably doesn't even happen.
Yeah.
He probably doesn't get hurt.
Right.
Because when you got a running game like with Derrick Henry, what you got with Derrick Henry, that gives him that extra 1 to 2 seconds to do things that he didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And he's running for his life most of the time.
And I really think you give Dak a change of scenery.
Yeah.
Get him, you know, off the pressure of being the Dallas Cowboys quarterback. You know, it's not easy. Because
you give him that guy running back.
You go back before Dak. It's Tony Romo. Tony Romo, when he was actually the Cowboys quarterback, the Cowboys fans talked about him the way they talk about Dak.
Mm-hmm.
But if Tony Romo goes somewhere else and wins a playoff game or two, I think he's looked at in a totally different light. So there's no doubt there's nobody that knows more about football than Tony Romo. I know that just from hearing call ball games.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a Cowboys fan, never have been. I got a lot of friends that are. And I used to tell
them. Some
people
that aren't your friends.
I used to tell them when they would dog Tony Romo, I said, y'all got one of the top five quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean.
It's not the quarterback.
I agree.
Extra point that he fumbled, should your starting quarterback even be holding for extra points? I mean, that's, you know, they always go back to that.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, the thing about it is he got constantly put in situations where it was – you know, the percentages of him doing well were limited. And it's the same way with Dak Prescott. What are you doing?
And you know,
when you don't take Derrick Henry.
That's like Tyler asking if the Packers were in a good situation. And I talk about they don't make a splashy move. The last one they made, and we've talked about Aaron Rodgers dropping to them in the 20s or 30th pick or whatever, when he thought he was going to be the number one pick overall, and it was Alex Smith. Then he goes to the Packers because they draft him. He sits on the bench for 3 years, you know.
Man, I just love all this. I'll sit there with my paper wherever I am Thursday night, and I'll try to think about who I would pick if I was in that spot. The NFL Network for the last 2 weeks has just been playing old draft stuff. I've watched all that. The 74 draft, which was probably the greatest draft of all time. There was 5 Hall of Famers in that draft. The Steelers drafted 4 of them. That's a pretty good draft.
Well, you love the draft. I may not get into it as much as you, but I will watch the first round, you know, if I'm able to. And, you know, they've made it a show now. We've talked about that.
Yeah.
And if I had the money to do it, we would go to
Green Bay. You got to.
We would go to Green Bay as a group and watch it. I mean,
hey, we got some sponsors.
You think they can get us there? We're planning on rainouts for radio Thursday, Friday, anyway.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. And we go up there. We do a special podcast from the NFL draft. You in, Tyler? So we'll have to phone it in to
maybe
Tyler.
We can get Roger Goodell.
I feel like we phone it in most weeks anyway.
I'll be at the board.
You'll be at the board. Yeah. Okay. Well, I it's really fun to watch. And like you said, it is a show.
It is.
You know, before it was like 15 minutes of two guys going, looking at each other going, when are they going to make his pick, basically? You know, because they say everything they want to say in 5 minutes.
And you used to get the first 2 rounds, I believe, and then you just keep up on the ESPN ticker or read the paper the next day to see. Now it's the first round on TV, then it's the second round on TV, and I'm not sure ESPN News or 2 doesn't carry 3 and 4 and 5.
You know, the thing is, not that Steelers didn't have scouts in the 70s, but a lot of this was Chuck Knoll. The general manager didn't do what they do now. I mean, this was Chuck Knoll doing. The guy recognized talent. They were talking on this thing where he thought Stallworth was better than Swan, but they're sitting there.
Stallworth's going to be there later in draft. Don't take him with the first pick. So they took Swan because Swan wouldn't have been there in the fourth round. Stallworth still was.
Yeah.
Incredible. Chuck Noll does not get credit for being the great coach he was. And one of the reasons he doesn't get credit is he had so much talent. Well, okay. How do you think he accumulated that talent? He inherited a team that won one game the year before. Either he's a great assembler of talent, or he's a great coach, or he's both. One of the, you got to say it.
You don't have to say it.
You should, but
you don't have to.
I think there's a third alternative. Luck.
Yeah, he was lucky enough to beat Tom Landry to death.
I don't know if he beat him to death.
He was lucky enough to have a couple of players. Lucky enough to have a couple of players named Ham and Lambert. Who doesn't want that on their team?
And yeah. Green.
Hambert.
And Blunt.
Well, nowadays has Blunt on their team.
Yeah.
Few.
There's Steeler fans listening who are like, yeah, yeah. And then it just falls on silence as Greg and Tony look at him just like, or Greg and Jeff just look at him like,
I'm not gonna argue with you at all. I mean, you can't.
I grew
argue.
Up liking the Steelers because of the Mean Joe Green commercial, Coke commercial.
First
commercial I can probably remember was that commercial.
Yeah, but the Steelers are a far cry from that now.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and you know, and the thing about it is, it's harder now because so much information out there.
Well,
you know, and you see, you know. Like, for example, the Boise State running back, who will be a first-round pick, he wouldn't have been seen in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'd have to know who he was from reading a little blurb in the paper somewhere.
And the Steelers were notorious for, you know, the Arkansas A&M. Who are they? Is that college even still around, or is it something else now?
Yeah, it's called something else.
Yeah, but. I mean, Tennessee State, you know, North Texas State, mm-hmm. I mean – you know,
but you know, you can throw the Cowboys in that mix too. They took a kid from Wichita.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
worked out pretty good.
Yeah, you know, they had to know those kids.
Well, and they got a lot back then. They got a lot of players from small schools too, and you know, that's what the good teams were doing.
Yeah,
you know, and the Steelers were excellent at it. I mean, you know, of course, you throw in Lynn Swan from USC, and
Lambert was from Kent State.
Yeah, and Terry Bradshaw was from Louisiana Tech.
Yeah.
I mean, and I was just thinking a while ago when you were talking about the differences. Bradshaw probably makes more money in one season as an analyst
than
he made his entire football
career. There's no doubt. I mean, Terry Bradshaw, I've always told my dad he'd have to be really intelligent to act that dumb. And I mean, that's about the truth. You know, so I always thought the same thing about Rowdy Roddy Piper, too.
And we don't have time for WrestleMania.
No, but we've rambled on about this draft for quite a while now. But
we're going to go through it again next week.
Yeah, we'll do it again next week, and we'll know who got drafted then.
Yeah,
so
I've already told you.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see how that goes.
The confidence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But anyway, y'all got anything else y'all want to talk about before we go?
No, I just I hope the weather forecast is wrong and we, you know, don't have to build an ark late this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. So we can get these baseball games and softball games going and get them over with, track going. Lots of different things going on. So that about wraps it up for episode 37. We appreciate all the sponsors that we have each week. We couldn't do it without you guys. We thank you to all the people that call in, coaches getting us information, Jim Cross especially, play-by-play guys letting us know everything that they know about all the games and what's happening and who's doing what. We appreciate that. But most of all, we appreciate the kids just letting us talk about them and doing what they do. That's the reason we do it. We'll see y'all next week.
See you next week.
See you next week.